Morning. Today's daf and sota is Lamed Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as there is Masliba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're on Lamed Almud Beis. We're starting today towards the bottom of the Amud with the words Vechevron Shevashanim. It's about two-thirds of the way down. First word in the line is Ma'anikim Chama Bikomathan. Okay, we're doing two things concurrently. We are going over the crossing of the Yarden. Yoshua takes Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and he crosses the Yarden in order to do so. So yesterday, the Gemara spent some time discussing that. The reason why that became part of yesterday's discussion is because the seventh parak, the Mishnah, going all the way back to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, gave us a detailed account of the brachas and klos that were given Har Grizim and Har Eval. So they are over the Yarden, exactly where over the Yarden was a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. It was either next to Shechem, that was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, or it was next to Gilgal, that was the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. Either way, they had to cross the Yarden in order to get to Har Grizim and Har Eval. So the Gemara yesterday recounted some details regarding the miracle of the crossing of the Yarden, Yehoshua crossing the Yarden. And then, concurrently, we're also discussing the Meraglim. 39 years earlier, the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael to spy out the land. They came back with a report. All this is told in Parsha Shlach. And the report obviously did not come back well, and Bnei Yisrael did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And so they were destined to stay in the Midbar for a total of 40 years. And so the Gemara is recounting Midrashim from both episodes, both from the episode of the crossing the Yarden and also of the Meraglim. So right now we're in the Meraglim. So we are towards the bottom of Lamed Almud Beis, and we're continuing Vechevron Shevashanim Nivnasa. Chevron was built 7 years prior. So my Nivnasa, Ilema Nivnasa Mamish. Now the Gemara says, now can't be that it was literally built before. And after Adam Bonas Levno, Katan Kodin Levno, Gadol Dechsev. Now we know that it's just simply not true. Meaning that Chevron would not have been built before Mitzrayim. Bnei Cham, the children of Cham were Cush and Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim was one of the older children of Cham. And so therefore the assumption going into this is that Cham would build the city for his older child before his younger child. So point being is that Chevron was seven times nicer than Soan. And there are no rocks that produce any type of produce like that of Chevron. The Kavri Ba Shichve, Rashi has a question of the Girsa over here, we know, however, that generally speaking, what's done in Chevron, people bury in Chevron, meaning it's good bedrock in Chevron for burial. And we know that in terms of the lands, the greatest of land is Egypt. It's compared to Gan Hashem, the Garden of God. And of Mitzrayim, Tzoan is the greatest. So in other words, we're contrasting Chevron and Eretz Yisrael versus Tzoan and Mitzrayim. Chevron and Eretz Yisrael, It's bedrock. It's not fertile. It's not whatever. It's bedrock. And meanwhile, in Mitzrayim, which already is a fertile land, and of Mitzrayim, so on is the greatest of Mitzrayim. Dechsib kayu, but so on. Sarav. Ve'afilu hachi chevron mibuna echem misheva b'tzoan. And still, when comparing chevron to so on. So Chevron comes out seven times better than Soan. The Chevron Tashin Hava, the Haksiv, Vayimei Kesar Arbaim Shana, Vayamar Avshalom Alamelech Elchana. So the Gemara points out that the idea that Chevron is bedrock is a little bit difficult because we have Psukim in Shmuel Beis that indicate that it's not. Vamarav Avi Vitemarav Barachana Shalach Lavi Kvasim Chevron. They bought the Kvasim, the sheep, from Chevron. Vitanya Elimim Moav Kvasim Chevron. So we have a brisa that says that they brought the kvasim, the sheep, from Chevron. So you're telling me that Chevron is bedrock. It's not fertile. There's no plantation that's growing over there. Meanwhile, people are putting their sheep out to pasture in Chevron. So Mina. So the Gemara says no. That's it. That's the proof. Meaning that exactly the point. I did deklisha ara av derai v'shamen kinyana. So the Gemara goes on to explain that the land is very is very thin. The sand is very thin. Right, Rashi says, "Afresh otashim dak vekalush umuatu." When we talk kach lo yechorshim v'zarno satvua Michael Adam. So you're right. So the earth is very fine over there. They don't plow the land over there, and therefore avderaya Rashi mitzamechus umalas savim v'ochlim matzon, and it's a perfect place for pasturing your sheep, because there you have grass over there. It's very soft. Nothing is touched. It's not tilled land, and as a result of that, the sheep love it. Okay, Vitanya. Elim mimok. I'm sorry. Okay, that is just a description of. So it's the pshat and the psukim is not that Canaan was built before Mitzrayim, because it's simply not true. Mitzrayim was built before Canaan. It just means that in comparative, when you're comparing Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael comes out better. And even if you took the quote unquote the worst property in Eretz Yisrael, Chevron, and you compared it to the best property in Mitzrayim, and so on, still Eretz Yisrael comes out better. Okay, bottom of Lamed Alamed Beis. Vayeshuvu mitur ha'aretz, they come back from touring the land. Vayochu v'yavo, and they go, and they come back. Amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon v'yochem, mekish alich l'biyo. And what can be equated is their returning to their going. Ma'biya beitzara, af halicha beitzara. Just like when they came back, they were beitzara. In other words, they had bad counsel. They were planning on giving a report. The Gemara says this goes all the way back to the beginning. Even from the beginning, they were planning on giving a report, a bad report. It didn't matter what they were going to see. They were going to come back with a bad report. Ma'yisper lo v'yom rabanu. And this is now the beginning of their description of Eretz Yisrael. V'ksiv efetz ki aza'am. So if you look at the report starts off wonderful, good, 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 and then they get to the word Ephes, and then Azam, the nation's very strong. We're not gonna be able to beat them. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir Koloshen Harashim Bodaver Emes Bitchlaso and Mitkayim. So Rabbi Yochanan teaches us how to speak good Lashon Hara. It's important that when you say good Lashon Hara, now obviously there's no such thing as good Lashon Hara, but if you want it to be Mekayim, at least you want the Lashon Hara to be heard, so you got to drop in some words of truth. If there are no words of truth, it is just a lie from beginning to end, so no one's going to believe you whatsoever. So kol Lashon Hara she'ein bo davar emes, if it doesn't have any truth to it, in Mekayim. So in Mekayim besofo. It's just not going to last. Okay. And that's just simply an explanation of the Meraglim giving actually factual, good reports of Eretz Yisrael, followed up with their opinions of Ephes. But if they didn't do the first half, then the second half, nobody would have listened to them. Vayaz Kalev Etza'am El Moshe. Now, Kalev was able to shush the people. Amar Ravish, he sees him Bedvarim. So Ravish says that he tricked them. Meaning that when he opened up his mouth, they didn't think that he was going to defend Moshe, and meanwhile he did. And then the Gemara gives us some more details regarding exactly how this happened. Pasach Yeshua to Kamishtai. So Yeshua opened up his mouth. Amrilei, they said to him, meaning they said to Yeshua, Din Reish Ketiyah Yemalel. Right? If we cut off your head, are you going to be able to speak? Meaning we don't want to hear from you, and it sounded like an overt threat. We don't want to hear from you, and in fact, if we continue to hear from you, we're just going to cut off your head. The So Kalev realizes that basically he's going to be lumped together with Yoshua. I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to say something and they're going to shush me as well, or threaten me as well. Ben Amram. So he opened up with the following statement. You think this is the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? Okay. Now, as referring to Moshe as Ben Amram, so that gave the impression that he wasn't going to say anything nice about Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, he speaks about him what seemingly is a very disrespectful manner, refers to him as Ben Amram. So now he got the people to think, hey, look, Kalev is about to say something which is going to incite the crowd, which is what the Meraglim wanted. Savri Bignusa Kemishtai, that's exactly what they thought. They thought that he was going to speak disparagingly about Moshe. Ishtiku, so they all were quiet to listen to Kalev. By the way, going back to yesterday's daf, Right? We noted yesterday the difference, the basic difference between Yehoshua and Kalev is that Yehoshua from the beginning was already given afforded a level of protection from Moshe. Moshe actually changed his name with the intent of Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect you. So they knew from the very beginning that Yehoshua was not on board with their plans. Kalev, on the other hand, right, Ruach Acheres Hayisaimo. He was a little bit different, meaning he went to Chevron, he prayed in Chevron, but it wasn't clear from the very beginning whose side Kalev was on. So it worked to Kalev's benefit at the end, because now Kalev at the end is giving the impression that he's about to speak disparagingly about Moshe, and they're all thinking, yeah, he's going to. It was clear that he was not as connected to Moshe as Yehoshua was from the very beginning. So Amar Lahu, so what did now that he had everyone's attention, what did he say regarding Moshe? Amar Lahu, Otsianim Mitzrayim, he took a set of each of Karlanu Asayam, split the sea, Vechelanu Saman, responsible for the manim, Yomar Asu Sulamas, Valu Rakia, Lo Nishmalo, and let's say that Moshe asked us to build ladders to go up to Shamayim. Right? We do it. He tells us to jump, we just simply ask how high. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and now you think that we can't go into Eretz Yisrael? Okay. Alona Alev Yarshno Asa. Let us go up. We can conquer it. Vanashim Asher Alu Imo Amr Lo Nuchal. Now the people that were there together when says, no, we can't. Amr Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Davar Gadol Davar Meraglim Boster Shah. Now the Meraglim were just simply saying that we're not capable. They said something much worse. Ki Chazaku Mimenu. Now they said Chazaku Mimenu. Now Mimenu could be understood as it's greater than us. However, the Gemara gives another layer, another level of interpretation. Al tikre mimenu, Allah mimenu. Now, we didn't change the word. The word is still the same word. But, grammatically, mimenu can mean from us, or mimenu could also mean from him. The Gemara says that that was also part of their intent. They said it's greater than him, kaviyachol, as if to say, afilu balabai zeniyachol lotzi kelav misham. The owner of the house can't remove his kelim from there. Meaning what they were insinuating was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself can't get the Jewish people out of there. Eretz Ochelos Yoshvehi, it is a land that consumes its people. What kind of accusation was that? Where did they get that from? Darsh Rav Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani chashavti letova vehim chashu lera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, I created a diversion, and my intent was for it to be good for them. And meanwhile, they misinterpreted it. So what I want them to do is to go into Eretz Yisrael and tour Eretz Yisrael and have no distraction. So what I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, is that there were a lot of funerals on the day they came into Eretz Yisrael. Everyone was going to be busy with funerals, and therefore we did not give them the opportunity to inquire, like, who are these strange people who are walking through the country? Another version, same point, just different means of getting there, is that it wasn't death after death after death, but rather it was the death of Eov. Eov died that day. Eov, again, one of those personalities which is just so hard to pin down. Who he was, where he lived. We had him earlier in the Masechta as one of the advisors of Paro. So, who, when Paro asked, should I kill the Jews? So, if you remember earlier in the Masechta, so his response was a no vote. He didn't vote on that issue, but he abstained. And the Gemara said earlier that as a result of that, so his punishment was Yisurin. He was suffering because he abstained, because he gave a no vote. So the Gemara says that another version is that Eov died on that very day. Now the Meraglim, when they see all the death and all the funerals that took place that day, Kadosh Baruch Hu did it for a diversion. They thought, Eretz Ochelos Yashveha. This is the kind of land Eretz Yisrael is that kills the inhabitants. We felt like grasshoppers in their eyes, and they thought the same thing about us as well. They viewed us as like little grasshoppers. So, Amar Rav Mishar Shemaraglam Shakru Havu, this is, Gemara says, an outright lie. Bisham and he beinu kecha gavim. In other words, they can certainly indicate how they felt. They felt like grasshoppers. That's fine. That's factual. I mean, factual. It's, you know, at least it's a perception that they're perceiving. But lechaya, the Gemara says that's fine. Ela v'chein ha'ino be'einehem. But we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. How do they know how the Canaanim felt about them? Mina haviyada. So the Gemara says, how would they know? So right now the Gemara is leveling an accusation. This is an outright lie. But then the Gemara defends the Meraglim. So it is a little bit strange. I mean, generally speaking, as we're going to see through all these Gemaras, for obvious reason, the Gemara has a contempt for the Meraglim. And generally speaking, you won't find much defense of the Meraglim. But here you have a couple lines of defense. V'lo, the Gemara says it's not true. Ki havamavre avele tusei raze havamavre. So they would give the Suda Safra. The Suda Safra was a meal to when the mourner comes home from the funeral. So given food by somebody else, it's called Suda Safra. For the word bari, makes them healthy. So you had all these mourners on the day they came in, and they were eating their Suda Safra under the cedar tree. And when they saw us, meaning, you know, we were running around the country, but we didn't want to be spotted, so to say, so we ran up the cedar tree. And then we overheard them say, hey, look, people looking like little grasshoppers climbing up the tree. So we knew that they felt that we were grasshoppers because we overheard them say, hey, look at those little grasshoppers. Okay, so one defense of the Meraglim, they were right when not only did they know how they felt, but they knew how the Kananim felt about them. And the entire nation cried. So the Gemara over here, which is the same Gemara in Tanis, says that that very day was Erev Tisha B'Av. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hein Bachu B'Chiyah Shochinam. They cried for no reason. Okay, one of the popular line of parents, right? If you have no reason to cry, so I will give you one to do so. The nation wanted to stone them, meaning Caleb and Yoshua. And the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was seen. They took stones and they threw it upwards. Again, it was not only a revolt against Moshe, Yeshua, and Caleb, but it was kaviyachol, a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Torah tells us that the fate of the Meraglim, the 10 Meraglim, is that they died in a plague. The Torah does not describe with any more detail how they died. The Gemara over here gives a rather graphic and gruesome description of the death. Am Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shemesu Misa Mishuneh. They died a very unusual death. Am Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Darush Rabbi Shila Ish Kfar Tamrasa Malamed Shinishtarviv Lishonam V'nafal Tiboram. Now, this is the first time you're hearing it, so Rashi and Chumash brings it down. So their tongues were stretched out of their mouth and fell all the way to the tibur, all the way to their belly button. And then you had ants and maggots going from their tongues down to their belly buttons, from the belly buttons back up to the tongues into the mouth. So the basic idea you understand is that they spoke Lashon Hara, so obviously their Misa Mishuna, their very unusual death, had to do with the fact that their tongues, they misused their tongues when speaking. And why to the tibur? Why to the belly button? So, generally speaking, Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Tibur Shel Olam. Eretz Yisrael is the center, the epicenter of the world, the epicenter of the universe. So that probably is a simple explanation in terms of why mouth and why the tibur. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Ba'askara Meisur. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says they died askara. Askara, some form of asphyxiation, constriction of the windpipe, and another description of how they died. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of the Meraglim. How do we get to the Meraglim? So that jump took place on Lamed Amud Aleph, and remember, because we talked about the stones. This goes back to yesterday's daf. We said that the stones, they're right, they carried 40 stone that they carried. And the Gemara says that, you know, if you can pick up a 40 saw stone, so if somebody lifted on you, so then you can carry three times that mass. So that means that you can really be carrying 120 saws. And the Meraglim, when they were carrying the grapes, so we know that eight of them were carrying the grapes, 8 times 120, 960 saw. I know it's a loose connection, but as long as we talked about the grace being carried by the Meraglim, so here's a couple more details regarding the Meraglim. Okay, good. We're back to the Gemara now with the two dots on Lamed Hamad Aleph, and we are continuing a discussion of the crossing of the Yarden. So remember the scene. We started off yesterday on the east side of the Yarden. That makes sense geographically, and we're going to move over to the west side. So that means we're going to cross the Yarden. So the first thing that happened was the Aaron were carrying the. No, the Kohanim. I had the two words just the wrong order. The Kohanim were carrying the Aron. Well, I'm going to be right in just a moment. So the Kohanim were carrying the Aron, and they took a step into the east side of the Jordan River, and then the water stopped flowing. So it piled up like a column. How high did it pile up? So if you remember yesterday in Gemara, that was a machlokus exactly how high it piled up. The two options were 12 mil, or we saw yesterday 300 mil. And again, the Gemara gave a couple of explanations of what that machlokus is predicated upon. Then the Jewish people crossed over the river, either Kechani Yasam. They crossed like they encamped, an encampment formation, or they went in a single file. The Gemara gave us two options. And then after the crossing of the Yarden, so now you had all the Jews cross over, and you still had the Kohanim, and they were situated on the east side of the Jordan, so they also had to cross over. And so now what we're going to get now in our Gemara is a description of how that happened. So the Gemara goes on to say, "Vayi ba'alos kohanim nosei aron b'ris Hashem mitoch ha'yardem." So alos kohanim, they had an aliyah, they went up. The Gemara goes on to explain, "Nitku kapos raglei kohanim alach ela charava v'yashuva me'ayardem l'mkamam." So the feet of the kohanim were separated from the dry land, and the waters returned back to its place. So the water returned back to its normal flow. So now comes out is that all the Jewish people now are on the west side of the Jordan. Good. But the Kohanim together with the Aaron are on the east side of the Jordan. Nasa Aaron es nosav v'avar. So how do they now cross the Jordan? Well, that's easy. The Aaron picked them up and carrying them across. Shenemar vayika asher tam kolam lavor vayavor Aaron Hashem vakohanim lifnei ha'am v'aldavazeh. I'm sorry, lifnei ha'am. So the Aaron together with the Kohanim went and then crossed the Yarden. So basically, now it was the Aaron carrying the Kohanim. V'aldavazeh ne'anash uza. Now we talked about this yesterday. The Aaron itself went through an exile. Right after being in Shiloh for many years, so by Eli, the end of Mishkan Shiloh, so the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, and it was exiled, and it took many years for the Aron to get back, eventually return back to the base of Mikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. Remember, the Gemara yesterday's daf said that only on three occasions the Kohanim carried the Aron. One of those occasions when the Aron was finally returned back to the first base of Mikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. Anyway, Uzzah was punished. What did he do wrong? Shenemar vayavo ad Aron. I'm sorry, ad Goren Kidon vayishlach Uzzah siyado lechos es Aron. So when the Aron was being transported, so it looked like the Aron was about to was about to tip. So Uzzah, what he does is, he goes and he tries to protect the Aron from falling. Now, a reaction, by the way, which I totally understand, meaning especially if it's like it's like an impulsive, like, oh, let's save the Aron. But the Gemara says, no good. Amalekash Baruch Hu Uzzah Nosav Nasa Atzmo Lo Kol Shekain. I'm sorry, Nosav Nasa Atzmo Lo Kol Shekain. And Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is, the Aron is able to carry other people, meaning the Aron was able to lift the Kohanim and carrying them from the east side of the Yarden to the west side of the Yarden. So you don't think the Aron can take care of itself? So v'yicharaf Hashem be'uza v'yikau sham al ashal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu got very angry with Uzzah, and he smote him by the al hashal. What does that word mean? Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar chanamal iske shalom. al iske shelo, over his matters. Rashi explains sheshagag sheshagag leachos bo, right, the mistake that he made in terms of trying to grab the aron. V'chanamar she'asa tzrachav befanav, or another explanation is that he relieved himself in front of the aron, which is obviously a tremendous disrespect. V'yamasham im aron alukim, he died. Am Rav Yochanan uza bala olam haba. So the Gemara says is that although he was punished, but not a permanent fate. He has a portion on Olam Abba. Shenamar im Aron alokim ma Aron la Olam kayam af uza bal Olam Haba. Dying next to the Aron is a good thing. Just like the Aron itself is something which is permanent, so too the Uza himself is as well. He has a portion of the world to come. David was angered by that. Amar of Elazar, Shinishtanu Panav Kecharara. His face changed. Charara is like a overbaked cake. Ela me'atakol hecha dechsi vayichar hachanami. So the Gemara says every time it says vayichar, that's the way to interpret it. So the Gemara says no. Hasam ksiv af, hacha lo ksiv af. Here it has the word vayichar without the word af. Darash Rava mimnei manan ash David mimnei shekar ledivrei Torah zmiros. David was punished because he referred to the Torah as Zmiros. You will see every now and then the Gemara has a line about don't treat Torah like a song. Meaning it's not something where you sing. A song you sing and you don't know what the words are. But you like the tune. The Torah should not be treated like that way. Obviously there should be some sort of sing-song in learning the Torah. But don't treat the Torah like a song. And Shenemar Zmiros Hayulu Chukecha Bebeis Megurai. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim where David HaMelech makes a reference to Torah being more like a song. Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu Divrei Torah Shekatzav Behem Hit If Einecha Bo Ve'Einenu. So it's Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, no, Hit If Einecha Bo, you just blink for a moment Ve'Einenu and you forget it. I think we can all relate that sometimes after having learned Torah and spent a lot of time learning it, sometimes you blink and then it's gone, like you forgot it. And obviously Chazar, you need to go over it again and again. That's the simple method and probably the most effective method in terms of committing it to memory. But meanwhile, Atakore Tanzmir, you call it a song, meaning it's not a song. It's a song you have in your head and it doesn't go away. But when you have Torah is much more serious. Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset with David and the way he related to Torah. Hareini machshilcha b'David shafil tenakos shabeis rabban yodin. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, you're going to be nichshol, and something that even school children know, and that is dechsiv uvnei kahas lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh. We know that the Aron was not given to Bnei Kahas. Bnei Kahas was in charge of the wagons, and the Aron wasn't given to Bnei Kahas, but rather it was carried on shoulders. So, v'iyu asya bagalta. And meanwhile, when David was transporting the Aron, what did David do? He took it in a wagon. Vayach manshei beishemesh ki ra'u ba'aron. So, the anshei beishemesh were smitten. Because ki ra'u ba'aron, because they saw the Aron. Mishum deru vayach. So the Gemara says, really? That I don't understand the give and take. So, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Lazar, Chanamar, Kotzrim, Umishtachavim, Hayu. So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations of why the people of Beit Shemesh were so plagued just by, quote-unquote, looking at the Aron. So one explanation of the Gemara is, Kotzrim, Umishtachavim. Rashi explains, they bowed as the Aron passed, but kind of like half-hearted bowing. Rashi, the very final Rashi on the Talmud writes, Lo barlu mimalachtam lechavdo. They didn't stop working while honoring the Aron. V'hai ra'u la'ashon b'zayin kamo ataruni shani shechar charis. Meaning, they looked, but in a kind of disdainful way. Right? Okay, in other words, like an obligatory bow, but they still kept reaping the field. They didn't stop working. That's one explanation. Chanamar mili nami amur. And another explanation in terms of the people of Beit Shemesh and the reason why they were punished is top of Lamed Hamud Beis, man amricha de imrisa. The Rashi explains, mich yasacha kesheka'asta v'lo itzalta tatzmecha men hashivya. Really, Aaron, you couldn't save yourself from being captured? Now that's highly disrespectful. Right? I'm sorry, I'm reading Rashi. Okay, so the and who's going to appease you? So they spoke disparagingly about the Aron, right? This certainly gives us a much better sense in terms of why they were punished. Now, in terms of how many were plagued in Beit Shemesh, so the Navi is not perfectly clear. We are in Shmuel Aleph. We are in Perek Vav. Right, I'm starting from Pasuk Yud Ches. I'm just reviewing some of the Pesukim. V'achbrei azav mispar kol arei plishim l'chamisha sarnim me'er mitzar v'ad kofar aprazi v'ad avel gedola asher hinichu ala es aron Hashem ala yom hazeh b'zdei Yeshua b'es Hashimshi. So the Gemara just gives us a description in terms of where the Aron was. V'yachban shei Beit Shemesh ki rab Aron Hashem. So because the members of Beit Shemesh, the city of Beit, the inhabitants of Beit Shemesh looked at the Aron Hashem, so they were smitten. V'yachba'am shivim ish chamishim elef ish. And how many was it? It was 70. It was 50,000. V'yitablu am ki yikar Hashem ba'am makah gedola. And the words 50 and 70,000, it's a little bit strange. If the Torah wanted to say 70,050, so normally the way the Torah would number it is 70,050. The smaller number usually doesn't precede the larger number. And here the Navi describes it as 70,50,000. That's how the Navi describes it. And then, so the Gemara over here is going to try to give an explanation in terms of how to understand these numbers. We are in Lamed Hamad Beis Vayach Baam, second line down. V'shivim ish v'chamishim elav ish. Rabbi above Rabbi Lazar Chanamar shivim ish hayu v'chol echav echav shakol kechamishim alef. It was 70, but each one of the 70 was equivalent to 50,000. V'chanamar chamishim elav hayu. And the other explanation is that no, it was 50,000 v'chol echav echav shakol. Kishivim Sanhedrin. Every one of them was valued at like a Sanhedrin Gedola, like of 70. Which really only then begs the question: if these people were so significant, so then how could they be so disrespectful as the Aron was passing? Okay, I don't know. Vayikit Tzaduno Se Aron Hashem Shishat Tzadim Vayizbach Shur Umari. A description now. We're in Shmuel Beis, and we're talking now about the Aron being returned. So with every step that the carriers of the Aron took, so with every six steps, so they offered Shur Umari. Karbanos. Uksiv Shiva Parim Vishiva Ilim. Seven cows, seven ram. Amra Papa Brashmol Al Kopsia Upsia Shur Umari. So just in terms of a full complementary illustration, for every step it was one shur, one mari, or one ox, one sheep. I'll call sheish v'sheish p'tios shiva parim v'shiva elim. And then for every six step, they brought seven cows and seven rams. Amalei Rav Chistim came mileta kol haaretz Yisrael bamos. That's hard to imagine that that's the number of karbonos that were offered. Ela Amalei Rav Chista, I'll call sheish v'sheish p'tios shur mari. For every six steps, it was a ox and a sheep. I'll call shisha sedarim shel sheish p'tios. And then when they went through six cycles of this, Shiva Parim v'Shiva Elim. Ksiv Kidon, Ksiv Nachon. Exactly where was the Aron situated? So there are differing accounts, one in Shmuel and one in Divrei Yamim. One place is called Kidon and the other place is called Nachon. I'm Rav Yochanan B'tchila Kidon L'Vesof Nachon. So originally it was called Kidon. The Kidon, Rashi explains, when the Aron originally got there, it was like Kidon Ha'areg Shaharag Uza. Right, it was because it killed Uzzah, meaning Uzzah died when it originally got there. And then Uvasof, next Rashi, La'achesh and Ishtar Hashem, Shisha Chadashim, based over the dome, Naset Nachon, Shechin is based off. Then, after bringing death, it then brought Hachana. Dechsiv, Ayavar Hashem, it's Oved Adom. Oved Adom was blessed because the Aron was there. Ishtoshol Oved Adom, Shmona Kalosel, Yaldu, Shisha Shah Bekeres Echad. And they had a, Rashi describes a proliferation of children. Every one of the daughter-in-laws gave birth to six, sextuplets. Behindu Dechsiv, Pa'alti, Hashmini, Kibarchu Elokim. Uksiv Acharkach, Shishim Vishnaim, Oved Adom. 62 grandchildren for Oved Adam. V'shamatz b'shem Rabbi Nachman Bar Chaba Goren Nachon who Goren Arvona Yivusi. V'imkenu Hachi Garcinam B'tchila Nachon V'sof Kidon. Hashem Mizbech Shetchila So Banu V'sof Ocharav. V'Kidon Lashon Shever V'chor Banu Kamo Yirinav Kidon. Rashi goes over another pshat that he heard in the name Rabbi Menachem, that it's just the opposite. In other words, you have to flip it, and then Rashi goes on to explain the flip shot. But anyway, Rashi's first shot is that originally Kidon because it caused death, and then Nachon because eventually it brought bracha and blessing. Okay. Nimseis ata omer shlosh mine avanim hayu. Just finished up the daf today. There are actually three sets of stones. If you were confused yesterday in terms of stones in the Yardane, stones after the Yardane, right? Moshe stones. So the Gemara says, don't be confused. Actually, stones, there were three rounds of stones. So, on the western side of the Yardane, Moshe himself set up stones. And if you remember, we went over in the Gemara that Moshe wrote the Torah on the 12 stones, 70 different languages. It's called Divrei HaTorah Zos. So that's one set of stones that were set up by Moshe. And that's Avar Yardin. That's on the west side of the... Sorry. On the east side of the Jordan. And then V'Echashekim Yoshua B'socha Yardin. And then in the Yarden itself, Yehoshua set up stones. Shenemar, Ushtem Esrei Avanim, Hekim Yehoshua, Besocha Yarden. And then finally, Be'echad Shehekim B'Gilgal, Shenemar, Ve'ushtem Esrei Avanim, Haila Asher Lakhu. And then finally, the stones that were set up on the west side of the Jordan, and that was done by Yehoshua. Tan Rabbanan Ketz, the Kashi, Shalos, the Torah. How exactly was the Torah written on the stones? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Al Gabe Avanim Kasvur, Shenemar, Ve'kasavta Al Avanim, it's called Divrei HaTorah Zos. And then something totally counterintuitive. After writing the Torah on the stones, then it was plastered. In other words, a layer of plaster was put over so that you couldn't read it. So Rabbi Shimon asks the most obvious question. Well, isn't that defeating the purpose? Isn't the whole point of writing the Torah on these stones is so that the nations of the world can learn the Torah? And that's why it's written in 70 different languages. And so, what a strange opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Shimon talking, where you're going to write the Torah on the stone so that everyone can read it and then plaster it so that nobody can read it. Right. So I'm alo bina yisir nasa mamakash baruchu v'shigru nurtzul Hashem v'kipos asid v'isiu. So Rabbi Yehuda's response is bina yisira, meaning they had an intuitive understanding that in order for them to learn the Torah, so what they would have to do is that they would have to peel away at the plaster in order to get at the Torah. Right? This is a constant theme that we find again and again throughout the Gemara, and that is that Torah is not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to come to us easy. So it's going to require work. And even the Torah that was accessible to the non-Jews is also going to require work as well. And the Gemara says, as a result of that, so their fate is sealed because they were given opportunity, albeit with effort and work, but they were given an opportunity to learn the Torah, and they didn't do so. Rabbi Shimon Omer al Gabi Sid Kasvua, the Kasvul Lamata. Lamana Shelo Yulam Duas Chamlasos Kechol. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah was written on top of the Sid, meaning Rabbi Shimon, who was opposed to this idea that the Torah was written first on the stone and then plaster was placed over it. Rabbi Shimon says that doesn't make sense to me. So, Rabbi Shimon's position is no, just the opposite, that the first it was the stones were plastered and then the writing was on top of the plaster. And on the bottom of the stones, what was written? You shouldn't copy the Umos, which comes to teach us that if they were Chozer B'tshuva, so then we should accept them. Okay, let's pause over here. Let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the bottom of the Amud. So again, just a quick recap of today. We continued the Meraglim. We went over the episode, the incident of the Meraglim, basically starting from the intent of the Meraglim, where the Gemara says that even from the very beginning, their intent was the same. The tour of the land, the death in Eretz Yisrael on when they arrived, Kadosh Baruch Hu was intending that to be a good thing. They misinterpreted it. Their return, Yahushua's attempt to quiet the crowd, Kalev's attempt to quiet the crowd, and the fate of the Meraglim, that was the first half of today's daf. The second half of today's daf, we went over back to the crossing of the Yardane, exactly the formation and when they crossed, the Kohanim, how did they get to the other side of the Yardane, considering the fact that they were the ones responsible for the splitting of the Yardane. Gemara explained that the Aron carried the Kohanim, and then as we got into the conversation, the Aron carrying the Kohanim, so the Gemara then went over a number of episodes where the Aron was, during the exile, Uzzah's death, David HaMelech's mistake, and the death of the members of Beit Shemesh, various reports regarding how people mistreated the Aron during the exile. And finally, we went back to the crossing of the Yarden and the Gemara's description of three sets of stones set up, one by Moshe, Aver HaYarden, one by Yahushua, Besoch HaYarden, and a third by Yahushua after having crossed the Yarden.